Ramadan Kareem, welcome to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. Today marks the first day of Ramadan in the UAE and we had so much to talk about. We spoke about everything amazing you can do in Abu Dhabi throughout the holy month. We also spoke about our new segment Love and Loves and we went live with the Shawarma King.
And if you are not subscribed to the Experience Abu Dhabi show, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Enjoy the show.
Ramadan Kareem, welcome to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. Today we will wrap up an incredible itinerary of experiences you can explore that reflect Abu Dhabi's welcoming Emirati hospitality and incredibly unique atmosphere throughout the holy month.
Of course, you guys, and our top stories for today are today marks the first day of Ramadan 2024 in the UAE. So Ramadan Kareem to everyone who is celebrating.
We're also going to be talking about Dubai Bling star Ibrahim Al Samadi, who's calling out DJ Khaled for not speaking about Gaza.
As well, incredible experiences in Abu Dhabi this Ramadan, which is our new segment for the day.
And also, something else that we want to talk about, Love and Loves, where we're going to delve deep into something that Farah and I particularly found that we really enjoyed, and we want to share those tips with you.
As well, it is day 159 days since the genocide began in Gaza. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip, the death toll has risen up to 31,045, while 72,654 have been injured, and more than 1.9 people displaced from their homes in Gaza.
Dubai Iftar time today is at 6:29. You can find up-to-date prayer times on the Lovin' Dubai website. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Ramadan Kareem to all. Before we get to our top stories, we do have to talk about the weather, because not only was it wild this weekend, also this morning, it felt like it was wet.
It was foggy.
It was condensation dripping down the window, which, by the way, we were also, along with the impeccable announcements for all of that extreme weather that happened this weekend, which, by the way, let us know, has your home recovered? We also were pre-warned about the fog that was going to happen this weekend.
That is true. I would like to say, what was that? What was that? I mean, I canceled my plans on Saturday. You know, I had like a desert plan. I canceled it because I was like, oh no, it's not, but it was
because we were told to stay indoors by the powers that be.
Exactly. Yeah. And as well, you made me feel like I should cancel. And I was like, oh, because I felt like, you know what, maybe Casey's right. Maybe we are right. I mean,
it's
I
not reported me. On this. It wasn't me telling you.
I know, but still.
It wasn't a mom moment.
I mean, look, you know, I knew that, you know what, I knew that it was going to rain for a while and that it was going to stop. Because I am born here and I have been seeing this happen over and over again where they go like, oh my God, stay home.
I'm sorry,
oh
this was, God. Can I stop you? This was a once in a decade, a very extreme rare weather alert where authorities needed to be at high alert. Therefore, they were saying, everyone stay off the roads because the more people on the roads may essentially mean that this car might get flooded and then the authorities have to go fix your car when other people might need more assistance. So even if there wasn't, it wasn't raining in the evening, that wasn't the reason you needed to stay at home. Not because of the rain, but because the roads were not safe for you to be on. Casey, I feel like such a mom.
Casey, I'm 25. Let me be. I'm 25. I want to be. The thing is,
it's
I even.
It's an age thing.
No, it is.
Because respect for the authorities.
No. It is like because even, by the way, my mom, I wanted to go and, you know, have like my nails done. And she's like, what? Farah, you're going to be going out? Have you seen the weather? And I'm like, mom, you are born in Syria and you live in Syria and it does not only rain there, it snows there. Yeah. And you can't even, you're telling me not to go out. And I went out and she was like, oh my God. And I would call her every 5 minutes. I'd be like, mom, I am drowning. Please help me. Just like as a joke. And she'd be like,
it was so funny. My mom was calling me saying, okay, so I'm going to go for a walk at 5 p.m. And I was like, mom, I can't go for a walk. There'll be rain. And she was like, Casey, we grew up in Ireland. She was like, thunderstorms and rain, like, this is just a wet Irish day. And I was like, okay, fine. Fair enough. Walking is fine. It was just, my main concern was getting on the roads where the flooding, the roads are flooded. They're still flooded. Like, it's still difficult to get to work today. Some schools are still advising not to come because of the damage caused.
That's true.
So, and I hope, like, were your homes damaged? Was there any flooding there? Like, we had leaking in our car park.
Really?
We had leaking, And one of the car park leaking videos got a million views.
I mean, I don't know, but what I know is I took a picture and I sent it to my cousin who lives in London, and I'm like, we have London here in Dubai. And then she was like, come on. Because, you know, she's always like, it's always rainy and gloomy in London, and she lives there, so I don't know.
It wasn't the rain and the gloom that was the concern.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
It was less about the rain and gloom. I think it was about the streets were flooding.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see, like, in Ireland, it rains every day. We wish we had a roof on the country, but we don't. But the streets don't flood. And I think that's the key problem here, is that you can't have people walking through floods. You can't have cars going through floods because they're not able to manage it.
Just take the metro. It's fine.
It's fine. 8:34 on the first day of Ramadan. Let us know where you're watching from. Are you working from home today? Today marks the first day of Ramadan in the UAE. The Moon Sighting Committee announced the first day of the holy month of Ramadan is March 11th.
As well, the ruler of the UAE tweeted his congratulations with the start of Ramadan. I extend my best wishes to all those observing the holy month. May this period of reflection and prayer bring us closer together and strengthen our bonds of unity and compassion. I wish you a blessed Ramadan filled with peace, harmony, and spiritual growth.
So many rulers and dignitaries also took to X to express their wishes. The Crown Prince of Dubai tweeted, "We congratulate our wise leadership, our dear people, and the Arab and Islamic peoples on the occasion of the blessed month of Ramadan, the month of mercy, forgiveness, and also we look to God to bring it back to us and to you with goodness, righteousness, and blessings." So yes, today is the first day of Ramadan.
Yes.
What are your traditions? Is there anything special that you would do on day one?
Yes, of course. So technically, I don't think it's only for me. It's for all Muslims all around, you know, like the world. They wake up for suhoor all together as a family, and they have suhoor, and then they all do the prayer, and then after that, they either go back to sleep or they go get to work, which was my case. I woke up for suhoor, and then, of course, you know, we...
So no sleep?
No sleep. Because
what time is suhoor?
It's... I think me and everyone, every Muslim woke up at 4:30 a.m. because, like, you know, you want to have, like, your breakfast initially, and then, you know, you go back to sleep. But I, like, had breakfast, of course, and I came back, came to work and so on. And if, let's say, I wouldn't get to work, I would get back to sleep, you know, after prayer, you get back to sleep or so on. But yeah, this is a good tradition. And the best thing is before iftar, because the chaos that happens in the kitchen is impeccable.
Really?
Casey, I mean, by the way, if you would
Who's cooking at home?
Mom. She has vine leaves, stuffed vine leaves, which I'm going to get you tomorrow because it's, oh my God, it's the best thing. And the thing is, I love this. And I've been asking mom to make it for so long. And she goes like, yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work and all these things. But because it's Ramadan, so of course, you know what happens at the beginning? All the mothers are so excited to
showcase all of
their, you know, like, cooking abilities. And even, by the way, like, daughters, you know, like, it's like, if you are on Ramadan TikTok, I think... My feed is filled with, like, you know, like, Ramadan TikTok. Like, oh, like, how parents are and how suhoor is and how it is, like, for dads and for moms and for daughters as well and for everyone. It's just, it's beautiful because, like, you relate in a way. And you just go, like, So everyone is living what I'm living. Like, for example, like, at, like, when iftar is about to come, what happens is... Everyone's hungry, and when everyone's really, really, really hungry, they get really angry and frustrated. So you can see, like, the mom go like, "Ah, Farah, put the table. It's time for iftar. You know, you have to do this. Where's this? Where's that? Where's?"
And it's just, I get it. Like, she's been cooking and she's been surrounded by food, and she's like, "All you had to do is to do the table."
But we help her. But we do help her, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I mean, if she's watching, she's probably thinking, like, "You help? I do help, but
you try."
I try. You know what I mean? I try. But for example, like she goes like, oh, Farah, do this, do that. And then everyone fights with everyone. And
I can so relate to just mom in the kitchen. You try and help, but it's never, you're never going to be the boss in the kitchen. That's her job. So we're the sous chefs. I asked Ali before the show, and he said that something they used to do was to watch the iftar canon, and then you know it's time to break fast. And we have got a list up on Lovin of all the places where you can actually watch it live, but of course it's on TV as well. If we get a live feed of that to you, we will. But if you want to go watch it live, it really is such a beautiful tradition. Expo City Dubai, Dumac Hills, Vida Creek Harbour, Burj Khalifa, and a couple of other places. That's really sweet too.
It is, it is. And by the way, even if we hear the, you know, the prayer, like the Adhan, we would want to have the canon, you know, even if on the screen, just because like it's a beautiful thing, you know what I mean? And I love it. It's just like, it's like, oh, specifically like the tradition of how they go like the countdown, and like, you know, you can see like the police officers like there, you know, and then they like stamp their feet to like, you know, like, you can now, you know, like put the canon and so on. So it's just like, beautiful.
It's I just love it. Yeah. There's a couple of iftar I've been to, and one that I'll go to in the Grand Hyatt, and they have the big screen. And then, yeah, it's just that nice moment.
It is beautiful. And I was telling you, funny thing, because like it's, you know, it's aired live. So when I was like younger, I'm born here in Dubai, and when I was born here in Dubai, my grandparents back in Syria could not see me. So I was still a baby, and my grandparents wanted to see me. So my dad was like, hey, listen, there's a canon that's going to be happening. Watch it live. And I'm going to show you Farah as a baby. And he like held me up just so he could show me to the world. And that was like,
it's a Lion King moment.
Literally. It is actually such a funny moment. Because, and then he's like,
that's,
you know,
so beautiful. I can literally see your head on a baby's face.
Literally. And the thing is, like, he told me, he's like, Farah, you never sleep. But the moment he held me up, the first thing he's like, you slept. And I was like, yeah, makes sense.
I wish they still had a recording of that, do they?
They don't. Because it was like back in like in the I was born in 1998. So, yeah.
That's not too long ago. It's 8:40. Let's jump into our next story.
So the Dubai Bling star, Brahim Al-Samadi, calls out DJ Khaled for not speaking on the genocide in Gaza. In a short video posted by the Dubai Bling star on TikTok, Brahim Al-Samadi showed his confrontation to DJ Khaled's cousin, Fadi Musallat, asking him why DJ Khaled has not spoken yet on the matter of Palestine.
But we know that Fadi has actually previously expressed his frustration on the matter, as he has said, if you are not speaking on Palestine, get out of my life. And it happens that Fadi was at the Besties Cafe at the same time as Ibrahim, who we of course know owns the Besties Cafe.
And of course, Ibrahim being known for voicing his opinion and publicly standing with Palestine all over social media, he had to say something, knowing Ibrahim. Ibrahim is being Ibrahim, and he had to say something. Have you seen the video? It's actually, I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this guy is like, are they calling out people who are not speaking on Palestine?
Ibrahim is super strong and like, he speaks so well on the matter, and I think he's so fair to people. We know Fadi has already called out his cousin for this,
yes,
so fair play to Fadi on this, on the same subject. Is it, you know, is it to call out one person, or is it to call out like a whole group of people who are just avoiding having this conversation? But I think fair play, you know, in a place where sometimes people on social media don't use their platforms as they could.
True.
The people that are strong enough and brave enough to go against the grain and to not just, you know, say what they think, but also to call people out for their lack of conversation, I think it's
true.
Fair.
It is, it is. And as well, you know, as we have mentioned before, is that at the beginning of what happened in Palestine, everyone was posting and then people stopped. And the fact that DJ Khaled is Palestinian and he has such a strong platform, why is he not speaking out? It is a topic not only for Ibrahim and for Fadi, but for everyone. Because everyone, like, we idealize all of those musicians, artists, and famous people. But then it's like when you see someone, an artist that is from that country, that is not speaking out on that matter, it raises a question in your head, why? You know, no matter what. But there is why. And even, by the way, I have seen celebrities who are not even from that country, from Palestine or from even Gaza, and not speak up and get cancelled because they're not speaking up. So it is fair enough to wonder why is Khaled not speaking out on it.
True, and the hope that it could bring. Mm-hmm. So not just for spreading awareness, yes. but also to, you know, young fans he obviously has and what it would mean to them for him to raise his voice.
100%.
That's a strong point.
Yes.
8:43, let's bring us on to our next segment. Guys, we're going to introduce something that we call Love and Loves. This is basically where Farah and I explore parts of the city
Dubai.
That we love, just one thing. And at the beginning of every week, we're going to be like, this is what I did this weekend and this is what I loved. And if you have any places you think that we should explore, please let us know. I actually have a little secret. So the place that I went was extremely foodie focused.
Okay.
So I've actually chosen another one. That's not, this is something else I don't.
Okay.
So Love and Loves, the Matcha Club. Have you been? Do you know it?
I actually don't know, but I used to hate matcha. Until my friend made me try a matcha with a vanilla flavor in it, and I actually fell in love with it.
So this isn't really for the matcha, to be honest. So the Matcha Club is, I mean, it's in Hakus,
and it's matcha.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But actually, it's like a paddle yoga breakfast spot.
Mm, okay, that's nice.
And the beauty of it is it's hidden among lots of grey buildings. And it's the beauty of Alcoos that you drive for like 10 minutes into somewhere and then you find this kind of nearly an oasis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it's like Miami or it's like Florida, it's like Bali, because it's Dubai. Because you find it hidden amongst not the desert, but the concrete desert, essentially. And you go into this oasis of like really cool paddle courts surrounded by foliage. You walk in as though you're walking through a lush green garden.
Yeah.
And then my favorite thing is they've got yoga classes with streaming light coming through the windows. Ooh. So it's the perfect like Sunday evening activity. And it's not just like you go and do yoga.
Yeah.
Like their instructors are very zen.
Yeah.
I don't really know like a nice way. I would say...
they're probably like peace, love, harmony.
They really invest themselves in the movements and the sounds. And like, you're there kind of like, no, but it's so good. And they really, it removes you from everything. There's no phones allowed. It's bougie. It's definitely quite bougie.
Yes.
But if you're looking for quite like a zen, natural light, beautiful greenery, nature experience, and also some paddle and also some great food, the Matcha Club, I love it. I'd really recommend it.
Actually, I would want to go there because I have a list of places I want to go to. It's like a list of like things that I want to try or go to as places and so on, but I have never really heard of that. And we know what's beautiful about Dubai specifically, by the way, as you've mentioned in Alcoz, is that people think it's just like an area, but if you actually go like deep, like inside, you know, the areas and those like little streets, you would actually find such amazing places and spots. And that's why I have a list of like things I would want to go to.
Well, add the Matcha Club to your list. I'm sure they sell matcha, but also paddle yoga and a place just to relax, like bring a book. You could go with people, but also just go solo.
Yeah.
It's super zen and super great. But speaking of places that we recommend, if you're just joining the show now, good morning to everyone on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You may notice behind us we have the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show, because today is the grand takeover and we want to help you discover incredible experiences in Abu Dhabi this Ramadan. So the holy month of Ramadan is upon us. And we are so excited to help you discover the very best of Abu Dhabi, from arts and culture to outdoor activities and also unique culinary experiences. They also have impeccable retail and so many reasons to visit the capital.
So start your planning now. Delve deep into Emirati culture and UAE history at Qasr al-Watan. Try your hand at pottery at Studio Clay, or enjoy an ideal pre-sunset experience at the iconic Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque. Or for a refreshing activity, how about kayaking around the Louvre in Abu Dhabi?
So it's not just culinary, it's about experiences, exploring and discovering. And to follow on, once the sun sets, you can set your sights on unique iftar traditions with a modern twist. For example, unique iftar at Louvre Abu Dhabi. You can experience Sahur at Earth Abu Dhabi and find a seasonal menu crafted in collaboration with Valentino. So this is not just one of many fabulous collaborations that you can find and events happening throughout the season. And you can discover more and learn all about it in Abu Dhabi and also at visitabudhabi.ae, where you'll get all of the information.
This is very exciting because I really like kayaking. And imagine kayaking like around like the Louvre and so on, which is very beautiful. And I've been to the Louvre in Abu Dhabi. It's beautiful. It just makes you feel like you go to a different era, you know, a different world of like art and statues and so on. And it's just like, I would say, very cool. So just to like, I would say, kayak around it, it's just like as well very cool. I actually have a picture like taken like at the Louvre, like.
That's the thing. It's memories that you want to make. Yes. And I think that's the beauty of trying a new experience where you feel transported to another dimension. Sometimes we're, you know, we're stuck in our phones and we're stuck in work. But actually, just beyond us, there's incredible things that we can try and discover and explore. And why not use the holy month of Ramadan to do it? And like we said, if you want to get information on any of the many more experiences, head to visit abudhabi.ae.
848. And I would like to have the Habibi, where's my shawarma? Good, I mean, come on, yeah.
Let's do it then, it's 8:48, let's have him on the show.
Yes, shawarma, and I'm hungry right now, Casey, because every show you come here and you just talk about food.
I never do. Like,
oh, yeah, you
and
do.
We feel bad, but we are going to be joined today by the Shawarma King. He's going to be with us after this very short break. Do stay tuned.
Or wherever it may be, or Canada, and they're like, oh wow, I see myself in that video. So I feel like naturally it's picked up an audience in Dubai. And then obviously majority of my following is in the States, but it's actually my top city is Dubai in terms of my statistics. So Dubai, I love you too. now, like, I found myself coming to Dubai a lot more because I came to Dubai for the first time last April. So it was almost a year anniversary. I stayed here for 2 months for work. I forced them to put me on a Dubai project because I wanted to be here so badly. And after the 2 months, I was like, I need to come back here. And so I came back in November. I came back in December. I came back in January. And then again. And so it's been crazy. Yeah. I love Dubai, honestly. Everyone says, my followers always say, you look so much happier here. I do. Because I have so many amazing friends that I've met from Sean to Fahed. I've become good friends with the cast of Dubai Bling, from Ibrahim to Fahed to Safa and Daniel. They're all amazing people. So it's been a blessing, alhamdulillah. It's been cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I personally know your content on TikTok, which is widely known as like Habibi, Shawarma, and garlic, and so on. Yeah. So of course now you come from California.
Yes.
Right? So how would you say you know all about that culture? That, I would say, Arab, Middle Eastern culture?
I have to thank Dede and Mama, honestly, and my entire family at home. I think grow up in the States, and if you come to one of my comedy sets, right now, like the theme of my comedy, if you come to Habibi Nights, which is about three shows in the summer, Irvine, San Jose, and Chicago, more coming soon. So I had to plug that in real quick.
Absolutely.
I just had a show in Dubai on Friday. But right now, the theme of my comedy set is about how it's my journey as an Arab in America. Like, how did I like lose my identity and come back to my identity? Because it's a process. In America, it's very tough. Being children of the diaspora, especially in America post 9/11, you're really like pushed away from the culture. They really do everything that's possible to kind of take you away from, whether it's discrimination, whether it's the way the laws are set up, you name it. It's very easy to not be out of there. My family did a really good job reminding me of being out of at home. You know, when I go home, Deki Arabi, you speak Arabic, not English. You know, the culture, like during Ramadan, such a beautiful time. Just remember, like, you watch Bab al-Hara on TV, you watch all the different musalsalat and all this stuff, and these things were embedded into my blood. So when I go out to the real world in America, you know, you don't forget those. But naturally, you know, you go to school. Yeah. I went to a private white Catholic high school. It was very difficult for me to like fit in. So you kind of have to buy into the program they have. Yeah. College in America. And then I came back to my roots once I started hanging out with more of my Arab friends via my cousins, you know. My brother and I both started to fall in love with more of our culture and our music and our traditions. And after college, I decided, like, you know what, it's time to buy into what makes me me. And I started making content about being Arab. I started off making content just naturally about anything. Then I was like, let's do more content about being Arab. And I have a solid understanding of it. I grew up knowing all of it. And then, now like 4 or 5 years later, we're at Love in Dubai.
Speak.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being Arab in America, you know, one of our conversations before you joined the show, we were talking about people calling out DJ Khaled for not having a voice.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to have a voice. It might be easier to have a voice for Palestine and Gaza for people here in the region. But you were very strong about your opinion. Was that difficult to do from an American platform?
Listen, it's our first right on the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, but it's not as as black and white, you know, in America. You know, I feel like in America, it's it was so taboo to talk about it for a long time, you know, and social media has done a fantastic job making a lot of people feel comfortable about it. You know, it's kind of even the playing field because the media has done, I think, a poor job of showing, like, you know, a balanced side, like a minimum a balanced side of the situation that's going on in Palestine and Gaza. And to be honest with you, what really drove me is I realized that, like, my comedy is a vessel to deliver news in a digestible way. Otherwise, when it couldn't be, you know, I feel like with the media and other people might take what's going on, which is horrific and tragic, and we've just become naturally desensitized to it, you know? And so I've used my comedy as a way to make it easier for, like, the non-Arab audience in the States to understand what's going on in Gaza and Palestine. And so I wanna say it's, I mean, you have to get over that hump. Once you realize, you know, you have to never lose sight of your own values, because who am I if I don't have my integrity and my values, you know? I'm out here trying to make my mom happy, my family happy, my culture happy. If I don't stand by those values, who am I in 10 to 15 years? So it's really important for me to never forget that. And in the States, it's very easy to lose those values. I see it happen to a lot of people. Buy into the culture that is the American culture and what they really sometimes push to for success, you know? And for me, I'll never compromise those. There's always something that I'll stand by. And supporting Palestine and Gaza was part of my values and integrity. So was it hard? Yeah, I mean, I said this on... I was on Al Jazeera and they asked me about this and I lost 10,000 followers in the first 2 weeks when I started talking about it. But I say Alhamdulillah because I gained so much more and people that recognize the cause. Mm-hmm. So hard, yes. Right thing to do, yes. And I'll do it 1,500 times again. Oh, I'll always speak up for them as much as I can.
Great. So we do see that happen with not only you, like a lot of other celebrities when they do actually support Palestine. But I have a question, of course, because you grew up in the United States, in California specifically, so you must have a lot of, as you say, white friends that do not quite understand, you know, the Arab culture. Because there's like this specific stereotype on like the Arab culture, like, oh, they're so strict, they're so everything. Have you in a way affected them? Or like maybe fixed that stereotype?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. A lot of my friends, my like American friends and white friends, they really like are very thankful for, like, you know, wow, you've opened the doors for us to see like the beauty of this culture. I have a couple of friends that they were really nervous about going to the Qatar World Cup, you know, and they asked me like, yo, should we be nervous? I'm like, no, go there with open mind. They asked me all the right questions, and I taught them all these different things, like, say, you know, you say, you know, marhaba, you say inshallah, you know, mashallah, all these different things. And they came back from Qatar and they were like, oh my God, we love the Arab culture. And now they're like always supporting me in my videos. They're speaking more Arabic. They eat more shawarma. They listen to more Arabic music. So, I mean, yeah, the whole point of, like, I have my goals as a comedian and entertainer, but I also have my goals for the culture in the States. And one of that goal was to make them mainstream in the States, similar to black culture, Latino culture, you know, K-pop, all these different things. Like, I want Arab culture to be that mainstream. And you're starting to see it. You're starting to see a lot more. And it's not just from me being a comedian, but you're starting to see it with entertainers and musicians. It's happening. Like, we're becoming to be more accepted as a whole. And it takes being unapologetically yourself, wherever you are, whether it's in the States or, you know, Europe, Canada, you name it. So my friends, they do have an appreciation. I appreciate them for, you know, falling in love with our culture. I remember, you know, one thing that I had a conversation with my friends just recently, like 2 weeks ago, I was with them, and they really, like, they thanked me for opening their eyes to what's going on in Palestine, because you see, listen, news is hard to digest. The news is very, like, in your face, but when it's done in a comedic way, it's easier to understand the information and see what's going on, and they really appreciated my videos, like, wow, I had no idea so much was going on, and it was that, like, so tragic. But your videos really help bring it to light, and that to me, that's the biggest goal of doing it. If one person can understand that, I've accomplished my goal.
That's such a great mission to be opening up the eyes of the West to cultures of the East and you know, different types of news in a comedic way. It's great. Yeah. You mentioned shawarma.
Yes.
So you've been
I've started fasting series at Shawarmaland. 9 o'clock, guys, and it's too early for Thursday Ramadan. Honestly,
we have rules that during Ramadan we try and speak about food as little as possible. But when you have the shawarma king on the show,
it's very hard.
We have to bring it up.
You've made a song.
My bestie Sean Shadiak made a song about shawarma. Well, it's more of like, it's like a love of shawarma. It's called Be My Shawarma. It's out everywhere, Spotify, Anghami, YouTube, everywhere. We made a song called Be My Shawarma. That's a Valentine's song slash summer anthem of sorts. Very proud of it. It's a funny song, you know, and very inspired by old funny Arab songs like Lahme song and Saudis and Audi. So I have made a song.
You've made a song. We had Sean on the show and we got his summary of it. But just from the horse's mouth as well, why shawarma?
Why shawarma? Okay, so one, I'm obsessed with shawarma. I love shawarma. It's my favorite Arabic food, you know. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. Like when people ask me at the shows, they ask me like, why do you love shawarma so much? And for me, shawarma is a beautiful reminder of our culture. Yeah. It just like encapsulates so much of who we are, right? Mm-hmm. The warmth of it, the food, the way it's done, the way it's like so shareable and so like everyone like at night just goes and eats some shawarma together. And when I was younger, my family used to have shawarma so often. Like my uncle would come with these boxes of shawarma. Yes. And we would just sit there and eat it, you know? I remember I had such fond memories. And that carried on throughout my time. It was always a constant reminder of who I was. And so the love for it always grew and grew. And now it's like, it's my love. It's my passion.
Yeah. Now it's all we're thinking about. It wasn't me.
Like think about how many times you've had a delicious shawarma with like the chickens hitting the thumbs, and you have a nice like merenda or like, you know, a soda with you or like a mint lemonade. And you're just there with your friends. And it's just like 2 a.m. Like, what else do you want in life? I mean,
the Golden Tasty in Barsha. Yeah. Have you been? It's like this cafeteria in Barsha. Anyway.
I mean, it is as well a tradition in Syria, specifically in Damascus.
In
Damascus, you know, like there's like this area in Syria where I've been for a trip with my friends, Bab Touma, which is like, it's known for having the best shawarma places, spots. And it's like amazing. And it's actually, literally, because I'm hungry just like you.
Yeah.
And I'm fasting just like you and so on. And it's like known for like the thing. But like, I have a question for you actually. Do you think that you are, because like, I'm just gonna explain it better in a way, like I am born in Dubai. And if I go back to Syria to my family and so on, they go like, oh yeah, Farah, you're not Syrian enough. Because like, I am like, you know, like, I don't know as much as they know. So do you face the same thing in a way?
Yeah, 100%. Uh-huh. 100%. It's always a classic, like, in America, you're not American enough.
Yeah.
When you come to the Middle East, you're not Arab enough. And like, I experience it within my family. I experience it with my friends. Yeah. Like, it's something that like, I deal with a lot. Yeah. Like, I tell people though, I am Arab American, but the Arab comes first. It's just how it is, you know? My identity, I grew up in the States. Part of my identity is the States. Like, I can't deny that, you know? I have a love for that side of me, but I also have a love of my Arab side. So that comes naturally with the fact that, like, if I come to the Middle East, I'm gonna feel more ajnabi. I'm gonna feel a little bit more like American.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It's not my job to try to convince you that I'm Arab enough. I know I'm Arab enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not the ruler of who's Arab, you know, enough. That's not, no one is, you know? But there are people like, no, like the way you speak, I don't even cuss all this stuff. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm not there to make you happy. Yeah. Like, I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of being Arab. I'm trying to do the best I can to make us as proud as we can. And so, at the end of the day, like, if someone says I'm not Arab enough, I'm like, honestly, you might not be Arab enough because Arabs are all about being hospitable. It's all about welcoming people. And you're kind of like, nah, so you're not Arab enough, if I have to be honest.
Speaking of getting comments, having videos that go viral is amazing, but also there's the downside of you get people's opinions on your work all the time. Has that ever affected you?
No, it doesn't affect me. I mean, like, listen, we're human. At the end of the day, when any negativity is thrown at you, it'll affect you a little bit, but I feel like your mentality to it and your reaction to it is what defines you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always natural if someone comes to you, and this is not true, it says, love in Dubai is horrible, you're going to have like a little bit like a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But then your reaction to that, I think, defines who you are as a person, right? I know as a comedian, I can't make everyone happy and laugh. It's impossible. There's 7 billion people on this earth, right? My job every day is, can I make one person laugh, right? If I can make one person laugh, alhamdulillah, right? Now, alhamdulillah, I've also made a lot of people laugh, you know? And when someone doesn't like my video, okay, I'm sorry you didn't like my video. I can't make you guys all laugh. My job is not to make everyone laugh. And so once you have that mentality that it's not about making everyone happy and you can't make everyone happy, it makes you feel a little bit less loose, you know? I'm not really focused on that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I see the comments. Sometimes if I have a funny response to it, I'll respond to it. But most of the time I ignore it, you know? I try not to stoop down low to the negative comments. Like, there's, like, for example, someone will say cringe. You know, someone for the song, for example, will say, Be My Sharon was a cringe song. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. I'm glad that you had the energy enough to write a comment on my video. Thank you. Algorithm doesn't know if it's negative or positive, you know? But I'm proud of it. Sean's proud of the song. A lot of people do love the song. So if you think the song is bad, I'm sorry you don't like it. But there's another person I can make happy. So.
That's the mentality you need. Yeah. Yes. Like, it's hard to build that wall up.
That's true. Yeah.
It is hard because people say some pretty bad things out there.
They do. Yeah.
They really, there's some stuff that, like, honestly, like, I'm like, whoa, that's like really unnecessary, you know?
We see them every day. Yeah. Every day. We love you for your comments.
Yeah. Keep posting the bad comments. The algorithm does not know. Bad or good, just keep commenting at the end of the day.
I'd rather keep the negativity at the door.
I would too. I wish everyone was more positive, but not everyone is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Think about it, though. It takes a lot for someone to write a negative comment. Yeah, have you ever gone out of your way? It feels so much. I actually feel bad for them because I've never found myself in a place where I'm like, I'm going to write something bad on someone's product. You know, like that takes a lot of bad energy. So I actually feel bad for them. Like, inshallah, you find peace in your heart that you don't have to do that, because that actually takes so much negativity to go on to someone else's work that they put time in to say, I don't like this video.
It's absolutely wild, but it's extremely common.
It's so very common.
Good morning to everyone except for you, negative typers.
No, good morning. I hope you find peace, inshallah. I hope you find peace because I know you're probably struggling. So I send you my love.
That's
a
good point.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing because you didn't say anything bad and it's Ramadan. So you wouldn't have to be like, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, over and over and over again. Yeah. So again, I would like to actually ask is that, have you found a shawarma place in the United States that is as good as, let's say, like, okay. Syria?
So it's a great question. I haven't been to Syria. Inshallah, one day I'll be able to go out to the homeland.
Okay.
I have in my mind an American ranking for shawarma and, like, an Arabi ranking.
There's two,
American ranking and Middle Eastern ranking. Because there's a difference between the two and how they make it, right?
Yeah,
in America, more so out of 10, like, nine, 7 out of 10 times, you'll get shawarma, and there's literally salad with a side of shawarma in the sandwich. Like, because that's how the Americans like it, with like lettuce, and they like it more like Americanized. Mm-hmm. So it's harder for me to find a good shawarma. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes the flavor is there, but there's just like unnecessary toppings.
Yeah.
So I'll say, it's an 8 out of 10, but compared to the Middle East, it's like a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
You know, but in my mind, like, my friends recognize it, like, that. How was it? I was like, if it was in Syria, this would not be good, but in America, like, it's not that bad. But there is a spot, there's a couple of spots in America. There's one spot in LA in Sherman Oaks called Sincerely Suria.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic shawarma. That's the best shawarma I've had in the States, in LA. The chef was Syrian, and the way he did it, he took the freaking bread, pushed. Here's what you know when you're gonna get good shawarma. The chef takes the bread, dips it in the oil underneath the chicken, then puts it on the grill.
I can see it.
The fire just like build up. That's when you know you're in for a good night.
I'm like, not fasting, but I feel bad for people watching because you're painting a picture.
You're painting a picture. On it, you know? And then he puts an extra piece of the chicken on top with a slab of tomb.
Okay.
And he goes, Habibi min ayuni.
I'm like, it's actually a tradition.
This is gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's when you know. That's when you know. So yeah, I've had some good shawarma.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
I'm really sorry. We have 2 minutes left.
Only
we
two?
Have to, yeah, I
I've
know.
Talked too much, guys.
I know.
I've talked too much. I swear.
That was a very good interview. No,
we're gonna have a really quick game.
Yeah, it's a quick hitter.
This is a red flag game. So if it's a red flag, you hit the ball.
Yes.
Just don't mention the ice cream test. The girls in Dubai do not like this thing.
And I would want you to reply with every time you answer. Be like, Habib. And okay.
Min ayuni.
Okay, perfect. By the way, Syrians are known to be like very like na'ayuni, wul'ayuni for all of these
flirtatious,
like,
by the
flirtatious ways. Even if they don't even like you, they're just going to say it. For sure.
It's just a way to be endearing. Yeah.
Okay, so it's cheeky.
Exactly.
It's cheeky.
So
min
ayuni. He is going to be replying with
Habib. You kick it off.
Yeah, so red or green flag. If you think it's a red flag, just like بس بعد if you even either if you think it's a red or a green flag just be like habibi okay. and tell us why so okay. double texting
mm-hmm. Wow. Depends on the situation.
We're gonna need a quick answer.
I'd say green flag. Oh, that's sorry. No, green flag. Don't touch it. I don't know. Double texting depends on the situation.
You didn't say habibi.
Oh, it's a green. It's not a it's green fine. Flag. What? You know why? Sometimes, in my opinion, mm-hmm. I am a bad texter now.
Yeah. Okay.
And DMs and stuff like that, everything gets lost. So okay. sometimes I appreciate someone double texts me.
Double texts. You know. You're cool with it.
I don't mind it. You don't like it.
Okay.
Okay, we go on.
I don't mind.
It's a quick hitter. Go.
Talks about their ex on the first date.
Habibi.
Not a thing. You go.
Okay, fine. Tell their mom about you after the first meetup.
Green flag. I don't mind that.
Ooh.
I don't mind that. He likes you.
It's a Middle Eastern thing.
Yeah. If I tell my mom about a girl, that means I think there's a chance.
Yeah,
I
there's a future.
She might be the one.
Yeah.
That's
green
cute. Flag. Mm, yes. Has two phones with separate passwords.
Habibi! One for the man, one for I'm not gonna say it. It's Ramadan, it's stuck for a lot.
It's not okay.
Yeah. Well, I think I might know the answer to this, but says they're going to marry you after the first date.
Habibi! Term of endearment, honestly. Arab guys do this a lot.
Yeah.
I want to marry you, Habibi. it just means like, listen,
they didn't mean it.
I want you to get I want your attention to be captured that you might have a chance, 100%.
Yeah.
They don't mean it when they say they want to marry you.
I mean, how many times did Arab guy tell you this and get married? No. Listen, if an Arab guy tells you he wants to marry after the first date, it means he wants something a little bit more than that.
But not the whole hog. Yeah. We have time for two more. Wants to go 50-50 on a date.
Habibi. What? No, we're out of. We're gonna pay for it.
Yeah.
But if a girl offers to pay for ice cream, I won't let her pay. But it's a nice gesture.
Yeah.
After the ice cream test gets people really riled up. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know why. I just have this thing that in my mind, like if I'm gonna take a girl out to dinner, I'm gonna pay. But when it comes to ice cream, if we go out for ice cream
it's
later,
a test.
Right? If right.
Yeah.
If we're getting ice cream and the girl just offers it, she's like, no, thank you for that. I'll offer to play. I look at that as a green flag. If you don't, then like, I don't know. Dubai girls are different. Dubai girls will be like, you got to pay for everything. American girls, it might be different.
Ice cream test. Yeah. Love it.
Okay. Well, this one, I think you and I can agree on this.
Okay.
Does not know how to dabke.
Habibi, the guy knows how to dance. Arab guys, you know how to dabke and dance. It needs to happen.
Dabke.
I know dabke. Do girls dabke? No.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I've only seen videos of guys.
I know girls that dabke better than me.
Yeah.
Why are only the male videos viral?
I don't know.
I've seen some girl video virals. At my show in San Diego, we had a dabke at the end of the show, and a girl was leading the way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. We're all about it.
Of course.
Listen, girls, guys, dabke together. It's all together as one.
The official green flag for the dabke. Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of the show.
I'm kind of sad. I would have been here for like another 2 minutes.
We had to skip through so much, but thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you guys so much. Thank you. Dubai, I love you. Bahabkun. A lot.
Habibi, one last time.
Habibi.
That brings us to the end of the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow morning at the same time, same place. Bye-bye from me.
Bye-bye from me.
Bye from Nasser. Oh, the lights are going away. Wow.